So hi, everybody. This is Mark Boyle, and welcome to the Mark Boyle Show. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things I've been seeing in the news. I was watching just the blatant disrespect of President Trump by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. It's sad that they don't realize that they might not like him, but that's still the President of the United States, and you shouldn't treat him that way regardless. I mean, we didn't treat Obama or Clinton with that much vehement disrespect. I mean, we didn't like him, maybe because he was on a different side of the aisle, but that didn't give us the right to totally be disrespectful. Sure, some people in the media did, but not like they're doing Trump. So one of the other things I was really grinding on was these BS charges, you know, going on with the Mueller investigation and all that. And now they're saying, oh, there's collusion. There's, fraud. He moved money around. This is campaign finance violations. It's a federal offense, and on and on and on. But it always starts with if, because there's no proof that there was campaign finance. And in fact, to me, one of the guys in the media was saying, well, you know, he was moving money around and being all secretive about it. Well, yeah, that's what you do when you're trying to protect your image as a business owner and a billionaire, that maybe you don't want some of your clients in, you know, Dubai and these other parts of the world that might frown on that. But you don't turn around and then put that money into your campaign and then pay someone out that way, because that is extremely out in the open and transparent. So why would you go through all these financial maneuvers to hide a bunch of money and funnel it around and then stick it in a big pot with a ginormous red flag on it? So they don't have any proof, but what they're doing is they're just saying these things as if, and they're talking about these things as if it really happened. And then they throw in words like, you know, well, and then it's campaign finance reform and blah, 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 which, you know, I've listened to the tape 10, 15 times and I can't understand what the guy's saying. But I'm sure, you know, people watching it would sit there and go, oh, there must be something there. I didn't hear what he said. It must have been a bad feed. But I'm sure Trump did that too, whatever it is. So it's causing problems. And then, you know, with the border wall and the possible shutdown, that's causing more problems with the financial world, you know, and Wall Street's up, down, up, down. Are they going to, you know, raise rates, not raise rates? Because that all affects everything. And it ties into all of our, you know, debt. And, you know, if our debt's too high because interest rates are too high, then our bonds are low because, you know, the interest rate's too low. It's all interconnected. And we don't always understand it because we don't have a lot of time to become financial planners. You know, we're just trying to live our lives as Americans and get by and do the best we can. So how do we do the best we can when the entire media, other than parts of Fox, are against your president? And, you know, they'll sit there and go, well, you know, the right is, you know, covering this up and all that. It's like, I'm sorry, but the Fox News is basically the example of a tree falling in the forest and no one's there to hear it. Did it make a sound? Because, yeah, they got a big viewership and a listener audience. But then you look at MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, C-SPAN. You know, it doesn't matter where you look on the internet, social media, comedians, sports players, sports commentators, sports casters. They're all bashing Trump. And then, you know, you get inundated by 75% of the noise coming into your ears from these lying loons. And then you turn to Fox and you're like, oh, you know, help me get my head around this. And half of them are like, well, you know, we're going to have to look into it. Look into what? It's a fake allegation, and stop eating your own. Just say it what it is. This is garbage. It's BS. There's no proof. It doesn't matter. But no. They go, you know, they got to act as if they're all on the high road and so self-righteous. And well, we're going to look into that, you know, because if there are some serious charges, then, well, then, you know, Trump should, you know, pay the price. It's like, yeah. And if Martians come and invade the planet, maybe we will all be screwed. But that's a big if. It's no different than, what's that ding-a-ling's name? Al Gore in his Inconvenient Truth. You know, the whole premise of that entire, you know, documentary, docudrama, docufiction, whatever it's called, it all starts with a big if. Well, if this happens because of these things will cause this, that, and the other thing, and then we'll all die and drown and freeze and, you know, be washed off the planet or barren, no food, whatever they're talking about. But it all starts as if this were to happen, these things would happen. And then it's almost like they didn't say the if, they just say these things will happen, and they're not. And that's what they're doing to Trump. And it's, you know, at least it's not stopping him from getting his agenda pushed through. And that's why I voted for the man, is because I knew there might be other politicians out there that could do a better job, possibly. But the reality is, even Rand Paul, who's a great guy, or if Ron Paul would have ran and become the president years ago, he would get sucked into that vortex called Washington politics and be spit back out. Whereas Trump is definitely the fly in the ointment. You can't chew him up and spit him out. And so that's why I like him, and that's why the left hate him, because they can't seem to mold him into the desire of their heart, whatever that may be. So I'm frustrated with all of that. And the more you watch it, the more mind-numbing it becomes. You're just like, can you give us a break? You know, let the man do his job. Now, if I, you know, were, you know, advising Trump or, you know, anybody, you know, in DC, which will never happen, you know, Trump would do good to remind Congress and the Senate that he doesn't boss them around. And his job is really external things outside the United States. So it's treaties and wars and negotiations and all that stuff that goes into the Department of State and all of that, and lending money to other countries. Those are the president's job, and protecting the border. So maybe he could turn around and word it better than I will, you know, get it wordsmithed out to where it sounds really good, and just explain to Pelosi and Schumer, it's like, hey, this is all on you. If there's no border wall, all I can do is suggest that we need a border wall. If you won't do it, tell your constituents in your state that they're screwed because you guys are too inept and lazy to do your job, and then let them deal with the consequences and have their uprising there. It's like, it's convenient for politicians in the House and the Senate sit there and go, well, we would really, 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 honestly would love to protect the border here in Arizona or California or Texas, but it's that damn Trump. It's like, no, Trump is over protecting our nation. And if calling in the military to do so, he can, but it falls onto the states. If they can't protect their state, then there's a problem. And so I'm sure it could be worded legally and all that to where you could just sit there and put the ball in their court and go, hey, I'm tired of talking about this. We need a wall. You won't fund it. So, okay. You know, so I'm going to start telling the American people what's really going on, that it's not me that's blocking or pushing this program through. I'm just the bully pulpit trying to get our border secure, but I'm running into this brick wall called Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And so I can't do much else as your president but talk about it. So get a hold of these people and tell them, and then just start a bash them to death campaign, basically, you know, explaining how, you know, how all this works, because, you know, this is America. It works different than third world countries and banana republics. We're not a democracy. We're not, you know, 51% majority rules and they come and take your guns. It's not that way. So there's three branches of government, and the House is just one of them. And the House consists of your representatives and the Senate. And we've talked about how much I disagree with the Senate being run the way it is and being elected, but either way, that's what we deal with. So that division of power falls completely solely on the states and those clowns that you and I have voted for and allow them to run roughshod over our country. So it's that simple. And then you have, you know, then you have the courts, the judiciary, you know, which is the Supreme Court and the federal courts and all of that, which is another one branch of the government. So the House you know, has 33.333% of the authority and the power to do things for the federal government and in behalf of the states. The judiciary has 33.3333%. And then the president or the executive branch, he only has one third of the power, 33.3333%. So this is how it works. So he's not the only stumbling block, and he's not the only bully pulpit, and he's not the only one in charge. And 90% of his authority is outside of the United States. And I've said this before, and you know, it's like if you hire a landscaper to take care of the outside of your house, then he doesn't tell you what to do inside your house. That's the house representatives and the courts. So they oversee what the president does in the house. If he wants to sign a treaty that says, hey, I'm going to sell the Grand Canyon and the southern part of Utah and the northern part of Arizona to China because they're offering us a lot of money and we could buy really cool stuff, that treaty won't get signed, even though it's being discussed, unless, you know, two-thirds of the states agree with that. So there's checks and there's balances. And so I'm just tired of this total, total lack of respect for the president, any president, because this is how we operate. I didn't like Obama. I sure as heck didn't like Clinton. But you know what? They were the president. They were elected by, you know, the majority of the Electoral College. So that's the way the cookie crumbles. We'll deal with it. Newt Gingrich worked with Clinton to balance the budget and to get tax cuts and do these things because they work together because that's what nice people do. So now we have a president. He's a nice guy. He's got good family values. He's got a good family and stuff. And he's not, you know, the Antichrist, but no one will work with him. And, you know, and the dang Republicans, they won't even work with him most of the time. So he's kind of out there floating around, you know, on an iceberg going, hey, hello, I'm trying to get something done here. And they're all like, well, what do you want, dude, out there on the iceberg? Shut up. We don't like you. And so it's making it hard for our country to run as a civilized country. It's bad. It's not good. So, you know, we as the citizenry of America need to figure this out and work it out and get things, you know, running smoothly. And we're not going to get that to happen if we continue to elect, you know, crazy socialists. And you know, we are America. We're not socialists. We sure can elect a bunch of people that could run that through and make it possible. And there would be all these laws written, but then we would have to revert back to taking it to court. And then the Supreme Court might, you know, be, you know, a bunch of loons also. So they're like, yeah, I think socialism is great. It's awesome. Yeah, let's consider these laws, you know, constitutional. Well, when that happens, then that's all on a federal level. Then each state can sit there and go, no, we're not going to follow it. We're not going to follow these federal laws. They're crazy. And you people are all, you know, basically nuts. And so, no. And then the states back away from those laws. And the governor tells the sheriffs and the police, do not enforce these laws because they're unconstitutional in our state constitution. And we're just not going to be singing kumbaya with Karl Marx and you know, Castro. It's not going to happen. And so that won't happen, though, if we elect people that are weak, spineless, and don't have, you know, any backbone or any values or any love or patriotism for our country. It's just, it cannot happen because, as you know, you're watching this stuff on the news and you're like, what country do I live in? Because I feel like I was teleported like in Star Trek to some third world banana republic where they're talking out of, you know, this position of communism and socialism and, you know, screw the American people and we don't care, you know, about any of that because you're all dumb and we're not listening. La 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 la. And they got their fingers in their ears and they're like, we're not listening to you. And so you watch the news and you're like, are these people tuned into the same wavelength as is probably, I'd say, 80% of America, whether they're patriotic 100% or they're conservative or they're liberal? You know, most people do not want to go down that road. The people I've talked to that are Democrat, you know, they don't want poor people dying any more than I do. The way they want to go about it is a little differently, but they don't want to destroy this country. They don't want to destroy our economy. And they're most, for the most part, you know, normal people that just look at a problem or a situation from a different point of view. But that doesn't make them right or wrong, because there's, you know, 180 points of view, you know, just in a two-dimensional world. And if you go three-dimensional, then I can't do the math. So, you know, they're not loons, all of them. We think they are, and it causes this contention, you know, in social media and all that, that they're all crazy because we're watching it on the news. But these people are not speaking for the rest of the Democrats or, you know, the conservatives or liberals. They're just talking heads that get a lot of airtime, and then they say that, and you know, liberals and conservatives, we hear it and we regurgitate it back in conversation. But if you really ask any, you know, liberal that you know that's, you know, not, you know, a crackhead, go, hey, would you like to, you know, for America to be socialist if this is what happened? You know, you wouldn't be free to do this, and you're not going to be on that top tier, and you're not going to be in the wagon. You're going to be pushing the wagon. And, you know, you talk to them about how Russia collapsed and how communism is working in Cuba, not very well. And you, if you really had a conversation, you'd go, well, no, I don't want that. I just don't want people starving and dying. And you're like, oh, okay, see, then now we have common ground. We can discuss things. But you have to have a conversation. And most people won't do that. They get this attitude. It's like, well, I don't talk to liberals. I don't let liberals join my group. I don't have any liberal friends. It's like, well, then we're on a path to destruction. Because if we don't have anything good going on, in conversation with, you know, friends and people we know, then we're all gonna die, because it's not gonna work. So I'm gonna take a quick break. Hold tight, don't go away.
Hi, this is John Jeffers inviting you to listen to my show, The Jeffers Brief. You know, on The Jeffers Brief, we discuss topics of interest and concerns for preppers and patriots. You can only find us on the Compto Radio Network on podbean.com or KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. Hope you join me, and we'll talk to you then.
So another thing that I've been seeing on social media and in the news and everything is these states that are switching to or allowing, I guess, or, well, they're just basically ignoring the Second Amendment with these red flag laws. And I talked about it a little bit, I think, last week, but I'm seeing it more and more. And I don't know if it's really happening more and more, or just people are sharing it more and more on Facebook and social media, because, you know, it's so wrong on so many levels. And, you know, once again, what it goes back to, whether it's a red flag law or any of the laws that they passed, you know, talking about what we were talking about earlier, it's your local politicians and your local representatives that are just running amok, and they don't listen. I mean, you could go to a town or city meeting, you know, like a council meeting or something, and you'll notice that everyone in the room is really agitated about a certain thing, and everyone will sit there and go, we say no, 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 don't do this. And they'll have five or six meetings, and if you go to them, you'll see in the next meeting there's another 1,000 people going, no, don't do this. And then all of a sudden they do it. It's like, why did we show up to this meeting to voice an opinion and to say anything when they just do whatever they want? How does that happen? You know, why does it happen? Do they not know that they work for us? I mean, that sounds silly, I know, because, you know, you talk to any politicians and you go, hey, you work for me. And they're like, well, yeah, I know. They get all offended, you know, that they should actually be listening to a thing you say. And they don't like having to listen to anything their constituents say because they hate their constituents. I guess is the only way to put it. And I don't know how you get around it or work it out because, you know, there's so many things going on local levels and in the federal level and even with the world that, you know, we're not maybe on a precipice, but we're darn close and we don't know what's underneath and supporting that precipice. So it could collapse at any time for any given reason. And so if you can slowly start backing away step by step by step and get, you know, further back from the cliff's edge, it would help. So that's why you got to be involved in everything local, because those are the people that have the authority and the power to put a hurt on your rights and your freedom and your liberty and your private property and all of that. So we need to get more involved, and these red flag laws definitely need to be brought out into the light of day and talked about, because they're so unconstitutional. They're so wrong. They deny you due process and everything. And so they're punishing you and taking away a right when there's been no victim and not even a crime. It's just the allegation of a crime, kind of like in the movie Minority Report, where we think, oh, John Doe over there is going to do this based on all them people in the water tank, you know, if you've watched the movie. And so we're just going to take all your guns and your rights and your freedom. That's wrong. You know, so that's just one more step in the socialist direction that we don't want to go that way. You know, not to be a naysayer, but, you know, I don't see any course corrections on the agenda. So it looks like we are going to wake up one day and go, oh, where did America go? And they go, oh, we're not America anymore. We're calling it the United Federated States of the Union of America, by the people, for the people, socialist, blah, blah, blah. And I said, wow, that's a mouthful. And it's like, yeah, we shortened it to USSR, the United Soviet States of Russia, you know. And in a lot of these countries, they call themselves republics, and they do all this wordsmithing. So we'll wake up someday and we'll go, holy crap, you know, what happened? You know, I was reading some things in the Utah paper that, you know, housing starts are going down now. You know, so the economy, as good as it's doing, is, you know, they've just inflated another bubble. And so the signs are looking like we're heading into another 08 type recession with housing and stuff. But from what all the financial experts and gurus are saying, it could be worse because, you know, more things have happened. So it's like, you know, 100 years ago, you might have been able to just jack up your foundation and shim it and pump some concrete under it. And then you're good for another 100 years. But since 08, when the housing market collapsed, all they did is just take a bunch of our money and bail out a bunch of, you know, fat cat, too rich to fail or too big to fail. I mean, you know, like GM and the banks and all that. It didn't do us any good. And then it just propped them up and made them solvent. And then they just keep on doing it. So if you don't fix the foundation, then eventually when you go, you know what, I'm just going to jack that up and put some concrete under there, the contractor's like, you can't do that now. It's too damaged. It's too broken. All your timbers and your beams have cracked and they got termites now. And, you know, you can see it all throughout your house. It's falling apart and the nails are pulling out. It's too late. You can't do that fix anymore. You have to do something more. Well, we're waiting for politicians and bankers to do more. I mean, what they're really good at is kicking the can down the road and then blaming it on the next guy. And trust me, you know, I'm not just saying that, you know, that's what Obama did. That's what Bush did. That's what Clinton did. That's what Bush before him. Heck, even Reagan kicked the can down the road on many, many big issues. So we have a problem now. You know, Reagan kicked the can down the road and offered all this amnesty for these illegals back then. And then, you know, it just kept getting kicked down. Now it's in, you know, Trump's ballpark, and he's like, you know, I'm tired of kicking this can down the road. Why don't we fix this problem? And then everybody that kicked the can down the road and put it in his, you know, in his court, they're like, you're stupid. You can't do that. You're a racist. What's wrong with you? You know, it's a danger to our democracy. We're a melting pot. Well, you know, with a melting pot, if you've ever looked at a, you know, a metal melting pot, you know, eventually you have to skim off that slag on the top, because all of the nasty lightweight garbage that you don't want in your metal, you know, floats to the top, and then you skim it off and throw it out, you know. So yeah, we're a melting pot. Unfortunately, nobody's keeping an eye on the temperature or the ingredients of metal we're putting in it, and skimming the trash off the top. So when you're done and you try to make a good quality product out of that steel, it's just garbage. It's worse than pot metal, because no one was paying attention. So they've kicked this can down the road since, you know, Reagan, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, Nixon before him. And then I become oblivious, and I can't remember that far back after that, because I just didn't care about politics in that time frame, you know, and I was in high school and, you know, raising a family when I got out of school. So it you know, I don't know what happened before Nixon, you know, because the Watergate hearings were going on when I was in high school. So whoever was before Nixon, I'm sure he kicked the can down the road on many issues, you know. And who threw that can in the road in the first place was Wilson and FDR, you know. And then everybody else, instead of, you know, kicking it back off the road or picking it up and putting it in the garbage, no, they just go, oh, look, a can, let's kick it down the road, because those are social programs. We like that New Deal. That's really nice. Well, how are you going to pay for it? Oh, we're going to kick it down the road. Oh, awesome. Can I help? You know, and then everybody just, you know, starts kicking the can down the road. It goes, you know, nobody will pick it up and throw it out. And Trump's trying to pick it up and throw it out, but, you know, they're not going to let him do that, because, you know, there's, you know, how many years of kicking it down the road. It's kind of, you know, everyone likes kicking the can down the road. So it's kind of fun. You know, we've made a lot of money kicking this can down the road. You know, Pelosi and all them Democrats that bitch about the rich, they're all rich. They're all multimillionaires. So, you know, take your high-minded morality of you know, helping the poor and stick it basically where the sun don't shine, because they're all rich, powerful, greedy, old, white people. A lot of them are old black people that have been robbing their communities for years. And now we're just getting a new flock of older, you know, Hispanics and Mexican people that are now part of kicking the can down the road, and they're making a lot of money. And now we got a bunch of, you know, Muslims in there and people, and they'll just sit there and argue with Trump because they want a slice of that, you know, that pie from kicking that can down the road. And so, you know, what are we going to do about it? Well, you know, obviously we can't do anything about it. Just so get over that silly nonsense, because you can't fix it. You can't unscramble an egg. You know, you can't be unpregnant. It just doesn't happen. So there was a point of no return in American politics and history to where we maybe could have fixed it. Well, you and I couldn't have, because we weren't born then. But, you know, our great grandparents and our grandparents, you know, the greatest generation, they came back from war, and they're just like, oh, thank God I'm still alive and my wife waited for me. This is awesome. And they accepted all this New Deal garbage and stuff because they were busy. They had already done their time and their duty saving this country. And it's unfortunate that they didn't reengage like Washington had to do and go, wait a minute, this is sounds an awful lot like socialism that we just went over and, you know, kicked some tail with, you know, the fascists and you know, and these communism, because that's what they were fighting with, communism. So they should have said, this New Deal, you know, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still communism. But they didn't reengage. They just went, screw it, I'm done, man. You know, I'm lucky I don't, you know, they all probably had PTSD, but we didn't know what it was back then. So they locked it all up in their foot locker and stuck it in the attic and went on and went to work, you know, raised a family, built a business, whatever they did. And, you know, it wasn't as obscenely oppressive as it is today. So, you know, it was, they were looking at it through a little bit cleaner of a window than we get to now. you know, but our window, our, you know, our view is so cluttered now that we can't even see our point of reference, you know, that I talked about, like what's out there and where, what direction are you heading into? It's like, I don't know, man, these politicians painted my window black. I can't even see out of it now. It's like, well, then you're screwed. See, you don't know where you're going. Ha, sucks to be you. So it's sad. And you look at the incrementalism that's going on day by day, you know, with red flag laws, with Antifa, with all these things where police are being forced to stand down. Any of them that have an opinion that they don't want to stand down, they get kicked to the curb and fired, or, you know, made their lives ruined. So you can't do that as you know, a concerned, you know, law enforcement officer. Sheriffs are being co-opted into, you know, Homeland Security and stuff, you know, with the carrot of, oh, we'll train all your people and we'll give you really cool MRAPs and all these weapons and awesome body armor and stuff. And you need that because people are really bad. But, you know, I remember the day when, you know, the sheriff would just knock on the door and go, hey, we got a problem. And it's like, what's wrong? And he's like, well, you know, so-and-so accused you of this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, no, wrong house. It's the guy next door. Oh, okay. Sorry, Mark. Well, have a good day. You know, now there's so many problems. And yes, probably in the inner cities there are, because they're run like, you know, crap. But, you know, most sheriffs shouldn't be doing no-knock warrants, and there shouldn't be all these laws on the book to where they have to, you know, wear all this gear and MRAPs and all that. You know, they should just be able to knock on the door and go, yo, I have a rumor here. So they stay away from us. So there's another problem, because they have all been co-opted and, you know, mind screwed into believing that, you know, all their constituents that voted for them to be sheriff and put them in the office are evil and no good for nothing. And now you just have to put up with them until the next election. And then you can lie to them in the news and get reelected, and then, you know, keep working for Homeland on the side and make some extra money, and you'll be fine. You know, your department, because your county's bankrupt, will get, you know, new vehicles and stuff. Isn't that seem like what the heck's going on? You know, so you look around, you look at your world, you look at the, you know, all the articles I've been reading, and, you know, in the Utah and the Salt Lake Tribune and stuff like that. And even in my state, and, you know, I watch the media, you know, on in other states, and you're just looking at it going, who's running this dog and pony show nationally? Because, you know, it's not the president's job to run this, you know, the states. It really isn't. So you can pick any state in the union and look at it, and it's usually corrupt from top to bottom. There's no leadership from top to bottom. And everyone that's in charge are a bunch of crooks, you know, getting bribed and paid off and bringing home the bacon, which is being bribed and paid off. You know, that pork, yeah, that's considered a bribe and bringing home the bacon, you know, as a payoff. So there's no one's running this freak show. You know, they all say they are. And then, you know, especially they say it really well during, you know, midterm elections and elections. They're like, I did all these great things, and look at my smile, and aren't my teeth pretty, and I just got a haircut, cost me $500. I bet you wish you could afford a $500 haircut. But anyway, you know, I need you to reelect me, because I'm not done, you know, robbing you and taking all your property and skimming off the top. So I think if I get one more term, I'll be rich enough to retire. And then plus, you know, the retirement from the government that you're paying for, I'll be sitting pretty good. So I would like another chance to screw you over some more and take more of your money and maybe put more laws on the books to where you can't even, you know, turn around to, you know, from left to right on a Friday. Because if you do, then we'll write you a ticket and we'll get more of your money. But what we really don't want you doing is, you know, collecting rainwater so you can grow food in your gardens, because we, you know, we kind of get a lot of kickbacks from Big Agra, and we don't want you, you know, going on a diet that's healthy for you, like the ketogenic diet. We want you to keep eating My Plate, because we get a crap ton of money from, you know, Big Pharma and stuff like that. So, you know, we need you to just, you know, shut up, and I need you to elect me again so I can, you know, finish this screw job that's coming your way. but there's still a few more pieces not in place. So, you know, I just need 4 more years. And then, trust me, I'll be done ripping you off and raping you. The next guy will paint a prettier picture. And if he's actually cares about you, he'll try to strip all these laws, and we will make him look like an idiot because these are all good for you. See, when I'm done screwing you, it's really going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you because it's for your own good. But they say it and they wordsmith it in a way to where you're like, yeah, because I'm really busy and I don't have time for this. So, okay, yeah, I'll elect you. That sounds good. So what you're telling me there, politician Bob, you're gonna rob my neighbor to give me more free stuff. And if politician Bob's smart, he'll go, yeah, we're not going to rob you. No, you're disabled. You're handicapped. You're the one sitting in the wagon. We have to screw Bob doubly because now you're in the wagon. But see, it'll tell you that you're being screwed too. You know, it there's no free lunch. But this was all foretold by the founders years ago when they said once people realize that they can, you know, vote themselves into the cookie jar from government spending, that's it. The America is over because, you know, you'll bring in a bunch of constituents. And Republicans are really bad at, you know, being Santa Claus because you can't out Santa Claus the Democrats because, you know, you can, you know, you're still a Republican and you still have some values and some morals. So you're like, you know what? I don't want to screw my neighbor that bad. And so we're going to try to reform things. So we're still helping the poor because that's our goal, to not let people die on the street. But, you know, we need to fix it. And then the Democrats just swoop in and go, you're going to let people starve. You're tearing families apart. You're doing all this. You know, people can't afford insurance. You know what? I can't afford a new Corvette. Big deal. You know, but when I could have health insurance without the government screwing it all up, I had a really great plan. It was just one of those serious kind of issue plans to where, you know, if I got cancer or had a heart attack or fell off the roof and it was life-threatening, it was covered. And I had gap insurance that paid the deductible. But, you know, if I broke my arm, I just self-paid. It was great. It was great insurance. And even that was expensive. It was about $600 a month. But you know what? I wanted it. Just like if I wanted a Corvette, I just have to budget that and go buy it. But now everyone thinks, well, that's not right. You know, that's expensive. It's a right. I need that. So yeah, politician, go rob my neighbor because he's hardworking and he's got nice stuff and he's part of the rich. I mean, he's not rich because I know him, but you know, he's got nicer stuff than me. So go take another 10% from him. He'll be okay and give it to me because I might not be okay. I'm a loser. I mean, I haven't had a job since I was, I don't know, 20, you know, when I hurt my back really bad. Oh, you know, now I can't work. You know, my brother had back surgery when he was 20, I think, when he first got married. And they fused the disc together and took part of it out and all that. It was pretty serious stuff. And you know what? He continued to work in floor covering and construction his whole life. Now he's 66, still works, still a handyman, does stuff. He laid floors just right there with me all those years. And you know, he could have been one of them people that are just like, well, you know, I hurt my back and, you know, it's kind of sore. And I'm on disability now. Well, great. Maybe I should go on disability because I've hurt my back and been in physical therapy too many times to remember. I think there was like 3 or 4 times to where I could not walk. And you know what? I had a good therapist, went to work next week. I was fine. So this is how we're being robbed. You know, there's the Planned Parenthood thing that, you know, everyone's against. It's like, you know, and me personally as a religious kind of guy, you know, it's like, you know what? That's between you and your creator, your God, whatever. If you want to have an abortion, it's, you know, none of my business. Just don't send me the bill. Just like it's none of my business if you're going to, you know, go rob a bank or go do something wrong. I just don't want to pay for it. I don't want to pay for your stupid, bad decision of getting pregnant because, you know, you couldn't make the decision to, you know, keep your legs together. But now all of a sudden you're pregnant and that was unwanted, Because you didn't think about it because you're stupid. And now I don't want to pay for it. You know, I don't care that you got pregnant. I don't care about Planned Parenthood. Just stop sending me the bill. So you see how all of these things, no matter what you look at, no matter what regulation, or just look around your house, your property, everything is regulated. And all of that is a tax taking your money out of your pocket and putting it in politician Bob's pocket, basically. I mean, it all goes into one big pot, but hey, you know, we have no control over the pot, the budget, how much money gets sent. We can't opt out of some of these programs. Like, you know, if I could be paying my taxes and they go, we figure that out of every taxpayer, $15 is for Planned Parenthood, $25 is endowment of the arts and this and that, and I could opt out, that'd be great, but you can't. So no matter what you look at, no matter where you look, no matter what aspect, whether it's, you know, your cell phone, you look at the bill, there's a tax and an excise fee and some other garbage on there. And some of those fees that the phone company is charging you are paying for, I think, the Mexican Revolution when we went to war with Mexico, you know, which has been paid for, but we're still funding it because there's a tax on there. And they're like, nah, leave it there. Nobody cares. So you can't look at anything, your cable bill. You rent a movie from Hulu or Vudu or Amazon and you click rent $4.95, and then there's a dollar something tax. It's like, oh my God, what did they do along this chain of, you know, that movie being made in Hollywood all the way to me watching it on my TV? I mean, I already got taxed on my TV. I'm already getting taxed on just the internet to download that movie. Now I'm getting taxed on the movie. And then everything else involved, you know, Hollywood got taxed to death. All the workers and the grips and the cameramen all got taxed on that. So out of that movie, I'm thinking Washington made a lot more money off of it than Hollywood did. You know, so there's that. There's your internet. There's a tax there. I don't know. I really, you know, there's so many aspects of our life. And if you just look at it, you look at your bill and you're like, wait a minute, I'm paying the city for water and sewer and garbage, and yet there's a tax on it. Again, more. There's a loaf of bread. The farmer that grew the wheat got taxed. He paid property tax on it. He paid water tax. And he paid tax on the seeds. And then he pays tax on his tractor. And then he puts gas in it. And he pays tax on that. And then the little thing starts to grow. And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets his big tractor out, puts more gas in, pays more tax on it, turns it into that. It goes to the mill. It's set in a silo that he paid tax on that, and, you know, raised his property tax because he built a silo. And then it gets shipped off to, you know, the bread company that grinds it into wheat. They pay tax on the grinder. They pay tax on the stones that grind it. And then they put it in a bag and they pay tax on that. And then the bread company gets taxed on the gas that heats their ovens that makes your bread and the electricity that spins the dough around and all the employees. The time you get that loaf of bread, I think they say a dollar bill is taxed like 90 some cents on a dollar if you followed it all the way through. And we're just all supposed to be all right with that when they're doing such a bad job with the money we're giving them. You know, you look at motor vehicle in your state. Yeah, just do a Google search of how many cars are in your state and what's the average price for taxes or your registration. Yeah, sorry, it's a tax, you know, and do that times all the cars and then look at their budget and you're like, how can they not have enough money to hire five more people to give me some damn service when I walk in there and try to pay my registration?
Shelby Gallagher here, letting you know the second book in my book series, A Great State, is set for release on October 28th. Book 2, The Aftermath, is a continuation of the story from The Divide, where our main character, Julie, a single mother, preps for a collapse. Her story is one of overcoming, strength, and prepping as her community crumbles around her. Sound like recent headlines? Book 2 continues the story with tragic details of what life will be like for those who don't prepare. Pre-order your copy now at my website, agreatstate.com.
I am back. And I wanted to bounce something off of all my listeners and my YouTube subscribers and podcast listeners and all that. You know, I'm passionate about nutrition and all of that, and, you know, and the ketogenic diet, which isn't really ketogenic diet. It's, you know, the scrambling of low carb, high fat diet, keto diet, and paleo diet, carnivore diet, caveman diet, call it whatever you want. You know, I'm just really passionate about eating, you know, high fat foods and very passionate about staying away from carbohydrates. And if I get my balance right, then I'm healthy. All my blood work comes back fine. Everything's fine. You know, so I'm thinking about putting together a course on, you know, one of my websites and then sharing it out with everybody. And so if any of you have any questions or anything you'd like to ask me, you got the number, you know, at 520-261-9149. Give me a call and go, hey, that would be a great idea. Could you talk about this and that? And it'll be a free course, but I want to kind of drill into some of the issues and keep it light because, you know, eating isn't that complicated. We've been doing it since, I don't know, we were stuffing food in our mouths with that plastic-coated spoon when we were babies. So it's not that hard to eat. It's just it's hard to, you know, swim through the mud of all these you know, YouTube people and stuff that always got their hook. You know, I saw a thing for a ketogenic diet the other day on Facebook, and there's this guy. He looks like a gymnast / Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's just, you know, all muscled out, and he's got that, you know, inverted pyramid build and really ripped. And he's sitting in, you know, in the grass, and there's flowers all around him, and he's got some yoga, you know, meditation with his feet are together and doing all this kind of thing. And it's like, learn the ketogenic diet, basically implying that, you know, if you eat this guy's interpretation of the ketogenic diet, you're going to look like the guy in the picture, which we all know will never happen because we're not going to spend the first 30 years of our life that has already passed in a gym. Why? Because we didn't do it already. It's kind of late to look like that guy. Plus, he couldn't even have been 30 years old. I mean, this guy is probably maybe 24, 25, you know, so he's in good health anyway, even if he was on the Snickers diet, you know, or the Three Musketeers diet, you know, like my friend's kid that's an all-star sports nut, you know, and he eats, you know, potato chips and soda pop and slams, you know, Red Bull and all that. And that's his diet. And he looks great. He's well built and cut and ripped and all that. And he goes through the, you know, CrossFit wads like they're, you know, butter and stuff. And it's like, yeah, because he's 17. Yeah, everyone's in good shape when they're 17. Pack about 50 more years on there of eating that kind of diet, and you're probably going to be diabetic and in serious trouble and seeing a doctor every couple of weeks to make sure your blood's not going through the work, you know, beyond statins and heart medication. So, you know, you can't compare apples to brand new oranges. Just doesn't work. Old apples to brand new oranges. That's the comparison I see. So I wanted to put together just a little quick course like that and, you know, see if that kind of helps people out. So I will be plugging that a little bit once I get it done. And I'm thinking of doing, you know, more of a course, you know, with three or four lessons and then some modules in the lessons. But I think they're all going to be more of a podcast nature. So that way you can download that lesson and read through, you know, the literature and then listen to it at your leisure and then kind of, you know, go through the review and then move on to the next, you know, module or the next lesson and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of you probably do, you know, teaching or you've done online courses and all that. And I have not. I put one free online course on Thinkific just to play around with the platform and all that. But I'm not an expert. I like teaching, but I'm not the grandmaster of, you know, online courses and all that. So if you're pretty good at it, I would totally appreciate any input and, you know, any advice. And really, you can email me because phone calls don't always work the way we want it, you know, as far as getting information across that way. Email me at mark@prepperguy.com. That's a pretty easy one there. Or mark@contraradionetwork.com. So the, either way, I'll get that then. And the course will be on my website, Hello High Fat Diet, and then I'll cross share it with all the other websites. So you can also email me at mark@hellohighfatdiet.com, and that's my nutritional website. And that was also kind of a cheesy little backdoor plug to all my websites. You know, I'm just thinking that, you know, as a prepper, most preppers forget the importance of diet and exercise. You know, we talk about training and learning how to use your gear and all that. And if you're doing it right and you can get some exercise out of that, you know, while you're out hiking or camping and all of that. But really, other than, you know, perfecting your skills and your mindset and all that, nutrition is really, for me, top of mind when it comes to prepping, because it determines, you know, what kind of food you're going to store, how you're going to store it, all the gear you're going to buy for that long-term food acquisition. You know, if you're hunting, then you need hunting stuff. If you're gardening, you need gardening stuff. If your long-term food is homesteading, then you need homesteading stuff. But you kind of have to make a decision. Otherwise, you'll end up with a bunch of stuff that's mixed bag of things, and you spend, you know, 2 to 3 times more money on stuff that maybe you didn't need. I mean, you can use it now, but I'm, you know, talking about prepping in a long-term, you know, situation to where, you know, everything fell apart because some politician just pulled on that thread and the sweater unraveled itself, called our economy. You might have to leave your property, your homestead, your house, and tough it out on your own for a year until things settle down. And so that's your food there, you know, that, you know, what you eat every day when you can go to the supermarket is really kind of irrelevant. It's what can you eat and what do you like to eat and what can you acquire when there is no supermarket. And so that's what you really, really want to do, is learn how to do those things properly and get things, you know, in order for your food storage, because it's top of mind. So that's why I talk about nutrition and ketogenic diet, because it is the diet our ancestors ate before we had supermarkets and before we had carbohydrates and before we had smoothies and before we had whole grain bread and all that. It was how our species lived before it even knew it was a species. But yet, you know, the Paleolithic man, you know, had villages and all that, and then they went out and hunted. You know, there wasn't that much grains and food out there, you know, in the carbohydrate world. You know, that just did not exist until we became agricultural based. So if your diet and your bug out plan and your in-game nutrition is going to be based on things that are unnatural, then it's going to be harder to find. It's going to be harder to grow. It's going to be harder to process, all of that. Whereas if you strip all that away and you go, you know what, the mountain men survived on meat. You know, Lewis and Clark expedition survived on meat. They would find their grains once in a while, and they had some soup mixes with them for 99% of the time. You know, each man ate 5-6 pounds of meat a day, and they were fine. You know, they didn't have problems. They were okay. So, you know, they were okay because they didn't have Blue Cross Blue Shield and Medicare, and they were fine. You know, their idea of medicine was just to tough it out until you got better or died. So when you look at it that way in the purest sense, and you go, this is the way it was before YouTube, before Dr. Oz writing, you know, books about his pseudoscience of nutrition, before there was agricultural based, you know, things, before there were doctors, you know, with doctor degrees by the government that they paid taxes on, there was just people eating, and they didn't have the choices that we have today. So we always think the hunter-gatherer was actually a hunter-farmer. No, he was a gatherer. He gathered nuts. He gathered fruit when it was in season. You know, he gathered some of the greens that they, you know, had figured out they could eat without dying. They gathered plants for the medicine man, for medicines and stuff. So that's what they gathered. They didn't go out and gather up their crops. They didn't do that. And I'm talking 10, 12,000 years ago. You know, so people will hit me with that. Well, you know, the Anasazi Indians, you know, they had big fields and stuff. It's like, yeah, great. That was what, 100 years ago, 200 years ago? Who cares? They were still agricultural based because we as a species were agricultural based, which carried over from way back when they started growing grains and stuff. So it worked its way through even their civilization. But the reality is, before that happened, we as a species were still alive and thriving, or we wouldn't be here. So that's, you know, that's kind of my take on all that. And so I wanted to make a quick course, be able to take it right there online, and you'll have the homework or, you know, any PDFs that you'd like to download to be on there and all that. And just to help people kind of, you know, look at the overall reality of how our chemistry works and then go, oh, I see how eating carbs affect me, even though I love carbohydrates, what it does to my biochemistry and why I end up high insulin levels and why my father or my mother ended up being diabetic, dying from it sometimes. I now see how that correlates with what goes on in the human body. And so therefore, now that I know it's a fact, I can avoid that, or I can tweak that. I can eat better food. We all have an owner's manual for our vehicles, and you know, and I'll tell you right there, you know, you put water in it, it's not going to run. You know, you don't keep your wires, you know, being chewed through by a mouse. It's just not going to run. It's that's the biochemistry of your vehicle. Well, we're no different. You do things wrong, it doesn't work. It just falls apart. And so anyway, that was just kind of a little rant on that part of, you know, what I'm going to try to do. And, you know, we all know that nutrition is important. We are what we eat. Unfortunately, we've been told over the years to eat the wrong food. And this is all part of Big Brother and the FDA. And, you know, the kings and the pharaohs realized that it was cheaper to feed their masses grain than it was to feed them meat. And so we became agricultural based. And then the FDA came along and they even said it in their writings, in their publications, that we're at war and we're rationing gas and confiscating, you know, certain kinds of metal to make bullets for the war effort. So they came out with the food pyramid or whatever it was back then. And then they realized it's like, hey, this is great. And we could still feed the masses cheaply. And then they did a big study at one time to, you know, figure out whether, you know, they should push meat or grains or what. And, you know, through some backdoor deals, you know, Big Agro, which wasn't Big Agro back then, but it was still big and agricultural, you know, must have, you know, they did some lobby or paid somebody, and they went and decided to not do, you know, what the Cattlemen Association was saying they should do. And that was it. The decision was made for you right then at that time by a politician, a bureaucrat. And ever since then, we've been being told, eat grains, eat carbs, eat carbs, eat sugar, eat fruit, eat this, eat that. And if a doctor comes out and says, oh man, that is so much sugar, it's bad for you, you're going to get diabetes, he will lose his license. And in some countries, goes to jail. So there's knowledge. We need to be aware of it. And that's what the course will be about. And that's why I rant and rave about it all the time. So I hope you all enjoyed the show for this week. And I just want to say that, you know, there's the John Jeffers Brief on KYAH and also KNAK, great radio stations, Utah's talk authorities now, because they have the two stations, and we're on both of those. And I hope you share this with your friends. Tell your friends, hey, listen to this goofy guy, and I think you'll learn something. Get them to tune in. You know, it's on, you know, on the radio. You can tune in. You don't even need to download an app. And then also there's Prepper 2.0, which is Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. So Contra Radio Network is those three shows. We also have The Growing Homestead, Rob Alderucci. He's got good videos, and every once in a while he puts a podcast out there too. On so you got a lot of options to learn a lot of things, and I hope we bring something to the table that makes you happy. So I'm going to leave you all alone. Thank you for listening in, and we will see you next week.